Spirit or flowing by the Spirit, how you want to ever to, however you want to put it. But we're looking at the gifts of the Spirit and how we can walk better in them in Christian meetings. Hallelujah. All right, Genesis 28. We've been looking at this for some weeks now. Maybe we look at it in camp meeting. Maybe not. But prepare for camp meeting. Hallelujah. Prepare. You know how it is now. Hallelujah. All right. And Jacob, verse 10. Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Aran. And when he was tired, he went to a certain place to sleep there all night because the sun was down. I'm writing my own version. I'm actually reading KJV, but I'm trying to see how we can read it in simple ways. I've told you when you're reading or you're teaching someone, don't read in KJV. You don't start saying "as" because "he has said," "he say it." And you're teaching. You're saying "he say it." Really? You know, you say it in simple terms. Hallelujah. Uh-huh. So if there's a way you can read it properly, when the sun was set, now the sun was down. Yeah. So just so that you can benefit those who listen to you properly. Is that clear? Is that clear? Teaching is not in ambiguity. It's not in your speaking grammar. And that's why as much as possible, you want to communicate, not impress. Is that clear? All right. So verse 11, he was tired and he went to a place to tarry there all night. The sun was down and he took stones of that place to use them as pillows. And he lay down in that place to sleep. And he had a dream. A ladder was set up on the earth and the top of it reached the heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on the ladder. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land where you lie, I will give it unto you, and your seed shall be like the dust of the earth, spread abroad to the west, the east, to the north, and to the south. And in thee, and in your seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Again, this is about God's plan for his kingdom to spread. But observe that God came to Jacob in a dream and informed him in a dream. But look at Jacob's response. In verse 16, Jacob woke out from his sleep and he said, surely the Lord is in this place and I did not know. And we have been looking at that statement. The Lord was in this place and I did not know. And I said, how many times have believers also encountered that? So much that you were in a meeting and you did not know that God's power was present. And I said, the average person, let's take a survey, yeah? You've been going to church for more than a year. Come on. I think that should be almost everybody. More than a year, you've been going to church, okay? If it's not more than, it's fine. Let me see the hands. Come on. Okay? I need to say you are going consistently. I said, basically I talk to. I'm my guy. Alright? So, you have attended church at least a year of your life. Come on, let me see hands. 2 years. So when it gets your turn, just drop it, eh? 2 years. Okay? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay? It's dropping. 9, 10. 10 is 2013. 11, 12, 13. 13 is 2010. 14, 15, 16, 17 years of your life. 18, 19, 20. 20 is 2003. You have been attending church since 2003. Let me see your hands. Come on. 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26. I passed your age now. Pastor, I got attend church from my mother's womb. Okay, 27, 28, 29. You are born in church. Okay. I literally was giving birth to in a prayer meeting. I wasn't born in the hospital. So you know why we pray. Amen. That means the first sound that I hear was Leborada Santa Ravaye. Hallelujah. And if you said more than 10 years,
then we need to look at it.
That means you've been attending church for 10 years. And every service, because Jesus said, Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. So if I've been attending meetings for 10 years, and God has been there for 10 years, should I be like this? Should I still be struggling to pray? Should I still be struggling to preach the gospel? Shouldn't I be more courageous? Shouldn't I be more passionate? Shouldn't I be more expressive of the gift of the Spirit? And it is echoing Jacob's, we don't say anthem now. The Lord was there and I did not know it. May that not be your portion. The Lord was there and I did not know it. And it shows you that sometimes we get familiar with places, with people, with things that they no longer bless us. And that ought not to be the case. And I said the same thing on Thursday when we were looking at honor. That sometimes because you've gotten familiar with your mom so much, you know, you just disrespect and which should not be the case. And you look at the same people that you're looking at and you just say, mommy, you see, I don't want to hear anything. There are people that are going to her and you're looking at, what did they see in my mom? Yeah? Right? There are people that are running to her. Your dad that you are saying, you dismiss his counsel. There are people that like, there's a pastor kid that came to me on campus. A popular pastor, yeah? I'm not going to mention. And he came to me and he was asking some questions and I said, eh? I know your dad. And he's an astute minister of the gospel. Why are you asking this question? Eh? Now, I don't know family dynamics. I don't know whatever relationship with the father and son is. That's why you should have good relationship with your children. Amen? But that could be a dishonor check. You have gotten so familiar. Sometimes we get familiar with meetings. Is it not Sunday meeting? Let me just put on clothes. I'll go. Pastor will preach. Prophet will sing. Pastor will preach. We go home. In fact, when I was younger, my dad used to say, Shadra and Shamini church. That is, church is, you say prayer, I say amen, we go home. But no. The Lord was in this place and I did not know it. Learn not to get familiar with things. Don't get familiar with it. Something that ought to get you blessed now gets you bored. There's a problem. Sometimes we get familiar. We're talking about Holy Ghost meetings. We're talking about believers meetings now. What are believers meetings? Believers meetings are meetings where we come together. Holy Ghost meetings. Where we come together to express the gift of the Spirit. What are gifts of the Spirit? Tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, visions, revelations, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, right? Miracles, healing. Now, it's not for pastors. Amen? Come, can I hear amen? Right, it's not for pastors, it's for every believer. Mark 16:17, Jesus told disciples, these signs shall follow those that believe in me. Not pastors, not those who pray often. No, these signs shall follow everyone who has believed in the gospel. In my name, they'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, how many of you have believed? Come on. You believe the gospel? You're sure? That means you have eternal life. Okay, if you have believed the gospel, that means you have the Holy Ghost. You know, you don't believe the gospel and then wait for the Holy Ghost to come. You already said I'm there. From where? Like from the ladder. We are inviting you to our midst. The funny one is, we are praying. We're praying in tongues though. We all pray in tongues. They'll say, let's invite the Holy Ghost into our midst. So, the tongues you are praying in before, was it an evil spirit that you are using? It's the Holy Ghost. You prayed in tongues in the Holy Ghost. Then you are now saying, now, want to invite the Spirit of God. Nah, I've got the Spirit of God. And you know, it doesn't take shifts. It's not like it's there in the morning, then at night. The Holy Ghost is ever present. The power of God ever walking through. Hallelujah. Alright? So, in a believer's meeting where we gather with the intent to express the gift of the Spirit, how do I flow with such a meeting? How do I know what God is about to do? And how do I get blessed by it? And like I said, what ought to get you blessed, if it gets you bored, there is a problem. So, we need to take time to sharpen and shape our Christian walk so that we don't get complacent. So let's look at the gift of the Spirit itself. Because I believe that, especially in this part of the world, where oftentimes we glorify actions than words. Oftentimes a lot of us have just seen the things of the Spirit done. We don't know how. If they ask you to explain it, problem. So someone comes in there, you say, oh, I know he can see. You know, when I was younger, someone gave me a word. It was about pastoring. He told me I was going to pastor and all of that. It was at Molete, Ibadan. I went to play ball at Ingrama. And I was coming back with my friend Leye and Tunde. How time flies. I'm talking about 2006 or 5. So, we went to play football. And as we were coming back, this man just stopped us. And he said, can he see me? Yeah, I even thought he's a kidnapper because... So I took my other friend, Leye, that one. Those ones are rugged people. They don't know things of the Spirit. And Tunde used to beat people that were in SS3. He's huge. Now he's a dog breeder, so you understand. If you see his dogs, you know, I don't visit him. I can't visit him. I won't visit him. We'll meet at a neutral location where there are no dogs. The Bible says beware of dogs. Philippians 3:2. Hallelujah. Don't go and take my word for it. I'll probably write it about Philippians 3:2. Beware of dogs. Alright. And the man called me and he said some words. I'm not going to say some things. But everything was about ministry and I was going to pastor and I should ensure that I don't collect, normal thing you tell a child, don't collect things from strangers, don't eat stuff, I don't do that. So, but it was a reinforcement. Now, when we left the place, my friends were laughing. Now you go pastor. Now, I was already doing a bit of pastoring. Fake pastoring. I used to gather children at that moment. I used to gather children and I'll give them sweets and try to be teaching them. Whatever I was saying, I don't know. Hope they did not put it in their heads. Because I can't remember what I was teaching them. But I used to just gather children and we call it Spring of Joy International Global Ministry or something. I should put global because I saw it on a church that was close by. Their own Spring of Life. And actually, I just removed life, put joy. Because I was listening to Pastor Christian Kilomen, so I know about joy and all of that. So I just put joy instead of life. So when the man said, I just laughed, he said, But what was in my head was, how can he see something? How did he know something? Because he told me things that only myself knew, or probably my parents. So sometimes we grow up in an environment where things are done. You know, some of you probably, where you grew up, you see people do things and say things in the service and you say, I know it's real, but how? So we need to know about the gift of the Spirit. It's not spooky. It's not what you cannot explain. I remember there was someone I asked when I was younger and she told me, she said, we cannot explain these things. It just happened. As you grow, as you mature, as you mature, you too will do it. I will just do what I don't know. So we need to look at the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12. Are you there? So we say we must not get to a point where what ought to get us blessed, get us bored. I love the gift of the Spirit. And they will benefit me. Okay? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now concerning spirituals or spiritual gifts, I will not have you ignorant. Actually, the word ignorant there is deliberate ignorance. Agnoeo. A-G-N-O-E-O. When you intentionally don't want to follow something. Now, listen. If you look at 1 Corinthians 1, Because that's how to read. You will observe that in verse 7, Paul said, in fact, verse 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 6, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Can we verse 7 together? So that you came behind, you know, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to look at all of that during camp meeting. So he says, you came behind in no gift. That means, listen very well, this church already were walking in the gift of the Spirit. It was not new to them. It's not like, you know, to them, a word of wisdom. And I say, hey, word of wisdom, word of wisdom, like Solomon. No. Is it clear? Or it tells them, a word of knowledge. You don't know something. And I say, hey, like Ogbanje. No. They know the gifts. They were prophesying. They were speaking in tongues. They were healing the sick. They were raising the dead. This church had all the 9 gifts. So why would Paul say, I will not have you ignorant? If they already were doing it, what are they ignorant about? That is the question. Because they came behind in no gift. So how are they now ignorant? Alright? So if you're reading, go back to 1 Corinthians 12. And that's why you ought not to read in chapters. I've said it before, if you're reading any verse, read the book. Read the book. The context of any verse is primarily in the book. Nobody just speaks in isolation. In fact, the Bible was not written in chapters and verses. Hope that one is normal, Abby. It was the translators over the years that now put in chapters and verses, which is okay for reference sake. Imagine if you are in the early church. No chapter, no verse. That means, as you want to quote, we don't know where it is. We have to read from the beginning. That would be sweet. That means as you want to go to now concerning spiritual gifts, we cannot say 1 Corinthians 12. We only say, bring out the letter to Corinth. The first part. Then we'll start from I, Paul. Because we don't know where it is, so we'll keep reading. That would be good, right? And it doesn't, some of them don't have pages. It's a scroll. So you can't say go to page 3. Sweet. Amen. We'll have less false doctrine. You know false doctrine flies on the wing of verses. Decreating it shall be established. Who said it? He says it's God now. God called. Demon. It was the friends of Job. The ones that asked him to mock God. Say it. And that decreating was not for positivity. So, see what verses are just done there. But if I was smart, and you don't even have to be a Christian. If I was a diligent person that reads properly, I would not just speak any statement out of context. And so when you see, now concerning the gift of the Spirit, I will not have you ignorant. You must look at, if in chapter 1, it says they did not fall behind in any gifts. That means this church had all the 9 gifts. Then how are they now ignorant? Something appears to be wrong. Chapter 11 bails us out. In chapter 11, it speaks about food. So now let me give you the background. In the early church, what they do is that they come together to eat. That would be fun, right? Right? I think last year, they do it every month. I said myself, when are we going to start? You know, they do it. I've seen them eat goat meat before. Mr. Judith, what's goat meat in Igbo? Isiewu, to the glory of God. Because I come around. You see Isiewu, see fufu. See people washing hands. I said, is this cell? People washing hands like this. Loot cell. In Luther, maybe it's a syringe. You know? So in the early church, they come together to eat. Now the idea of it is that some were rich, some were not rich financially. So, to balance things out in the church, everybody just bring their food. So the idea is fellowship. It's not food. The idea is we are one. Did it make any sense, Bukola? Alright, good. We are one. Alright? But, later on, the people who brought pizza and all your intercontinental dishes. Who is a cook here? Sister Joy. Okay. She's with a baby. Who else cook like this? Hope used to cook very well now. You are retired. You know, who else cook? Huh? Your stir fry. You used to do stir fry. Is there anyone else that has to cook? Do you? You as Adam were competing one day on who can cook better. Alright, so it was to encourage them to eat together. So when the people who brought good food, they now started eating separately. You know, something like, we are not in your class. You know, we are not. And then the people who had little to nothing, too. Then Paul said, 1 Corinthians 11, down there. Alright. Are you learning something? Verse 17. Now, I praise you not that you came together not for the better but for the worse. First of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And I partly believe it. Is it making sense now? Alright? For there must be so heresies among you that they which are approved may be manifest among you. When you come together in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone takes before other his own supper. And one is hungry, one is drunk. What? Don't you have houses to eat and drink? Or despise you the church of God and shame those who don't have? What did I say? I am not praising you. So what is he saying? He's saying that if it's about eating your food, you could have done it in your house. But when you bring it to church, someone say, what? See, be gift of the Spirit. Well, Pastor, why are you going this way?
Come.
See, but when you bring it to church, and you are now eating your own food that you have eaten at home, what you are doing is you are shaming those who don't have. So because of this, someone is hungry. Then someone is saying, and it still remains two plates. He said, some are drunk and some are hungry. Verse 23. For I have received of the Lord what I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night where he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had broke it, and said, take this, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he took the cup, and when he had supped, he said, this cup is the cup of the New Testament of my blood. In my blood, do this, drink it, as often as you drink this, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup, unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now, a lot of people have thought that this is about communion table. It is not. It has no bearing, not one, with Holy Communion. Listen very well. You know where it's coming from. You are eating alone when you ought to eat together. Then he brings an example up. He says, Jesus, the night he was betrayed, did he not take bread and gave it to his disciples? They said, he said, okay. Did he not take wine and he gave it to his disciples? He said, why? He said, it is his body and his blood. Meaning that he shared it with you. And he says, as often as you eat this bread, you are remembering the Lord's death. Is it making sense? What is the Lord's death? The fact that he died for us. Abi? He shared his life with us. Is it making sense? Who knew no sin, but became sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Right? Right? Good. So, the Passover and the communion table is a lesson on love. Let's go ahead. So, in that sense, verse 27, anyone who drink this cup or eat this bread unworthily. Now, look up. How do I eat the bread unworthily? The context is current. If I eat it in my house and I swallow everything I have, am I eating unworthily? Eh? But the moment we bring it together in the church and we ought to share, right? Then, yeah, I have to cut my bread. I had like Sabinus. I know these things too. Don't worry. Then I squeeze the bread. And I swallow. He calls that I'm eating unworthily. It's not gluttony. It's lack of love. So, how do I eat the body of Christ unworthily? When I don't share what I have with others. A lot of people have thought, it's when I'm in sin, then I eat bread, I eat Holy Communion. How many people have been in sin and they've eaten it before nothing happened to them? In fact, when I was younger, the one that remained We are the ones. Why? Namalonje. Go body of Christ. Like this body of Christ in drum. Blood of Christ. Sincerely, I used to target it. It used to be, they don't do it often. So it's like once in like 6 months. So it used to be a big deal. And it used to be plenty. Because it's a big church. So body of Christ, they did not see blood of Christ that they used Martin and Lasson. Some were drunk. Some were drunk. A while are drunk. You know? And you must have seen people who, in your own judgment, they are drinking the word. And nothing happened to them. And they will die. No, watch. So, it says, verse 28, but let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drink unworthily, he eats and drink damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That is, he is not looking at what Jesus laid as an example. He's not discerning the Lord's body. He is after himself. If Jesus was after himself, he doesn't give us his life. If Jesus was peculiar about himself, he wouldn't give us his blood. Is it making sense? But the moment we remember his death, the lesson from his death is to share our own lives with others. The lesson from his death is that we now learn to share our lives with others. Okay? Alright? Now in verse 30 says, for this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Sorry, who are those that are weak? The people that eat unworthily or the people that eat worthily? Worthily, funny enough, is the people, listen, the one that is not unworthily, he's full. He's not saying the people that will be sick and die are the hungry. So it's even the opposite of what you are thinking. You think that the one that is eating unworthily is the one that is sick and weak. No. The one that is eating unworthily is the strong one. He's healthy. He's eating. He's not saying this is the reason why a lot of you in this church, some are weak, some are sick. And they die. Because they don't have anything to eat. While some people how do you call it now? They are enjoying in the abundance of what is excessive. Are you getting it? Okay. So the lesson here is about sharing, not about drinking. It's about fellowship. Being one with everybody. Okay? Having the interest of another in mind. Who is the example he used? Jesus. Having the interest of another person in mind. Alright? For this cause many are weak and sick among you, and many die or many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Therefore, brethren, when you come together to eat, everything is about eating. When you come together to eat, wait for one another. If any man is hungry, let him eat at home. That when you come not together for condemnation, and the rest I will set him out when I come. Then it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, don't be ignorant. So, the question is, how did it just flow from food to tongues? How do you just go from, we are eating this way, to visions? So, it now says, now concerning spiritual gifts, I would not have you ignorant. The word ignorant is the word to be in the dark. I will not have you in the dark. So, how will I be in the dark concerning spiritual gifts? Observe. Then he mentions all the gifts in from verse 7 he says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man's profit without. Verse 8 to 11, he speaks about the gifts. Then in verse 12, 1 Corinthians 12, for as the body is one, and as many members, all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So is Christ. Now, don't get it twisted. He's saying, I intentionally left where he mentioned all the gifts. Don't forget, it's a letter. Don't read it as chapter 11, he wrote chapter 11 yesterday, then chapter 12, he now wrote it today. No. It's one single breath. He's writing it. Immediately he spoke about food. He said, you are not sharing. Is that how Christ did? They said, no. So why are you not doing it? If you are not doing it, this is the reason why some are weak. Why some are dying. Because they don't have anything to eat. They don't have anything to live on. Same thing concerning spiritual gifts. I will not have you in the dark. Then he says,
the body, even though it has many members,
your eyes, when you're in primary school, my head, my shoulder, my knees, my head, good.
So,
yeah, it has many members, but it is one body.
Yes, so is Christ.
Alright? Is that clear? You have gotten to that place. Alright, let's go on. For by one spirit, we are all baptized into one body. Whether we are Jews or Gentiles, born or free, we have all been made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say to the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it not therefore part of the body? Now, is he talking to those who are eating unworthily? He's saying, you are seeing yourself as away from everybody. But, you are part of us. He says, you might be the eye, I might be the nose. I've said some people, one of my friends said, okay, don't worry. Let me say, the joke. If you're a medical person, you will know that the appendix has no medical usage. Right? It's just there. See that man. See the way he was talking. Appendix of the body of Christ. Very Jesus, very good boy. See the way he's talking. Very dishonoring. Appendix. I said appendix. Yeah, now, of the body of Christ. Oh, go, ni wulo. Out on the side. Alright. So, he's speaking about how that every one of us need every one of us. Alright? Verse 17 says, if the whole body were an eye, how are you going to listen? If the whole body was for hearing, then where is the smelling? But God has set members, everyone in the body, as he has pleased them. And if they were all one member, then where is the body? But now we are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Now can the hand say to the feet, I have no need of you. Is it making sense? Then he now goes into chapter 13. Then he says, love. Have you never wondered, how did he jump from food to the gift of the spirit to love? Because he's talking about the same thing. Now he says, love edifies. Love does not seek its own. Is that a diss? Come on, is that a diss? When he says love does not seek its own, he's talking about those who are eating unworthily. Then he says, listen very well. If you are eating unworthily, he says it's going to have an effect on the way you minister the gift of the Spirit. That means when it comes to the things of the Spirit or the gift of the Spirit, you are more concerned about yourself. But he says, that is not why we are here. We are here because we are all members of one body. I cannot say to you that I don't need you. I cannot say all my life I'm going to speak in tongues on my own. I will need you. I will need you to edify me. I will need you to bless me. Is it making sense? So when he says, I will not have you ignorant, is it making sense now? What are they ignorant of? The use of the gift, not the gift itself. Is it making sense? Alright, this is Bible study. This is how to do it. Alright? So it's not like they were ignorant of the gift. Mm-mm. They were ignorant of how to minister the gift. That means the gifts of the Spirit are ministered with love. The moment I come to a Christian meeting and I start speaking in tongues, we have a believers meeting. All of us are saying, everybody's just on their own speaking in tongues. Paul is saying, can you not do that at home? If it's about that, you could have done that at home. He said, but when you come together, we want to share. Is it making sense? So that means the gift of the Spirit in me is not just for me. It's for me at home. But the moment we come together in a meeting, it is for goodness. Does it make sense? It's for Toby. It's for...
Where'd you go?
It's for you. It's for you. It's for you. It's for you. Is it making sense? Alright. So, learn something. Huh? Alright. We have taught it properly in a more expansive way. I think I recommended it on Thursday. Love in our Christian meetings is a five hour teaching. It's broken into parts, so you can just take your time to listen to it. Is that clear? It takes away all your question. I think there was one I did on head covering, and that one too. All right. But head covering will take it very well after camp meeting. All right. So again, when it says, I would not have you ignorant, because some people don't even know why we don't, why, no one has comforted me for, you know, the people in church, they don't cover their hair. Who asked you not to cover your hair? If you wear scarf,
If you decide not to wear scarf, everything has style. If you wear trousers, if you wear skirt, that's some skirt. Amen. Amen. And some skirt. We advise that you walk in love. See, can you not wear this at home? You should be wearing this one at home. Yeah? Alright. Amen. So again, when it says concerning spiritual gifts, I will not have ignorance. We understand that now. What are they ignorant about? How to use the gifts. How do they ought to use it? Eh? In sharing. In fellowship. Alright, good. Good, good, good. So, what are these gifts? First Corinthians 12. Verse 8. We're going to read from verse 8 to 11 together. First Corinthians 12. We're going to all read from verse 8 to 11. Are you ready? Are you ready? One to go. For to one is given by the Spirit a word of wisdom. The gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the workings of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kind of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But all these works, one and the same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. No, not severally as the Spirit will, severally as the man desires. So listen very well. What is he saying? When we come together and we have a believer's meeting, one person has prophecy, another has tongues, another has discerning of spirits, another has the gift of healing. He says all of these things is one self-same Spirit that we have. So that means, listen very well, in a believer's meeting, now, I taught this some years ago. I don't think it was here. We can do two things. We can complement, we can supplement. Now, we can complement in the sense that what one person is doing, I can follow up on it. Now, so we are in a believer's meeting. And Sister Ife here has decided to, you know, she's working prophecy and she's giving instructions and all of that. Inspired by the Spirit. That's prophecy. Prophecy means words inspired by the Spirit of God. Not premeditated, instantaneous, God breath. Is it making sense? What's tongues? Tongues is tongues. Speak in tongues, please. Come on, speak in tongues. Come on. Hey, brother, do select these apartas. Glambo start, heal it test. Caprovo dole ki somla pari, this ki namandolos. Hey, that was too fast. Alright? Now, that's tongues. What is the interpretation of tongues? Exactly what it is. It means to interpret your tongues. Now, it doesn't mean that if I speak in tongues for 5 minutes, my interpretation will be for 5 minutes. Nah, not necessarily. I can speak for tongues for 5 hours and interpretation is, we need to pray more. It's not translation, it's not the way you have a human language that if it's so long, then it has to be so long. Interpretation is now to give meaning by the Spirit. Now, it's not premeditated. It's not that from home, you already say, Made Soli Nipe, God wants us to pray. Nah, it's not mechanical. Hallelujah. Actually, you can surrender yourself to the Spirit and let God talk to you. You know that? You know that? You actually can allow God to speak through you. It's not hard. It's not difficult. You are the one that is trying to, I taught a teaching, I don't know which teaching I taught, the things that hinder people from flowing in the gift of the Spirit. I was before believers meeting. What hinders people, and I talk about ignorance, I talk about guilt. Remember that teaching? Alright, so, again, there are things, but don't allow those things. And I say, pastor, if you know me, I'm not the kind of person that God will talk to. No, he's exactly someone like you. You are not even like Judas. Yet, he healed the sick through Judas. He raised the dead through Judas. He cast out demons through Judas. Hallelujah. And you will never be like Judas. Amen? So, how much more you? How much more you? How much more you? Hallelujah. Let God talk through you. He's not premeditated. He said, he's given everyone something to do. No, this morning, I yield myself to the Holy Ghost. Come on, this morning I yield myself to the Holy Ghost. I can see, I can know, I can say, I can do things by the Spirit of God. So, he mentioned 9 of them. Some are felt.
They are felt. Healing is felt. Miracles are felt. There are things that you feel. Some of them are said. Tongues, he said. Interpretation, he said. Prophecy, he said. Some of them, they are known. Just know things. Things no man ever showed you. Things no man ever told you. Amen. Amen. You just know. So that you'll see. Visions is seen. It's not for false prophet. It's for every child of God. You know, I can see things by the Spirit of God. He can show me things to come. He can show me what to do. He can show me how to do it. He can show me where to go. I have accuracy and precision by the Spirit of God. I'm sharp. Come on, I'm sharp. So the Spirit of God works in us in all of these gifts. You know, we can also have it very tangible. We can have the gifts of the Spirit tangible. Let me ask something. How many of you have laid hands before and you literally felt something? Might not be in your hands, just in your body. Let me see your hands. Come on, anyone. It has to be. Let me see your hands. Yeah? It has to be. Not every time. I'm saying, it can happen. It can, in fact, literally almost every time I'm laying hands, I feel it. Sometimes, as I go around, sometimes I don't lay hands. Say I want to lay hands on anyone here. Sometimes I don't go like this because I literally know where to go next. It's tangible. We can have tangible power. Have you ever prayed before? And it's as though you can't control it. Come on, come on. That should happen often, yeah? Yeah? Let it happen often. It can happen often. You'll be praying and it's as though you want to stop. I recall recently, just about some weeks ago, I was just praying. I want to really stop. I really want to stop because I was tired. But I could not stop. Every time I try to stop, I just go again. I just reload again. And when you reload like that, it's like, that's like 3-4 hours. Amen. Because it's tangible. It's tangible. And that's why the devil tries to corrupt it. You see people, they're going to a trance on in enemy. It is real. What I say? What the devil wants to do is, oftentimes when the devil sees that something is working, he tries to find a counterfeit for it. So that it makes it look fake. No, it's not. It's not. It's not. I was talking to a fellow pastor, and we're talking about CAC. How that, if you go to a CAC pastor now, and they are praying for you, and they say, I say, Lord God Jesus. Lord God Jesus. That's the next thing. Elijah. He has seen something. And if you're not careful, because you are a, what do you call it now? Christocurrency. Okay, Christocentric person. You know, you start looking at it and saying, why not? Come on, we can pray directly. No, shut up. Shut up. You can train yourself to be sensitive to what God is saying. It's tangible. So, how do I flow with the Spirit of a meeting or with the Spirit in a meeting? I recognize that I can have tangible experiences. Tangible experiences in prayer. Tangible experiences. And oftentimes, those experiences they are ministry led. Now, what do I mean? Oftentimes, when you have those tangible experiences, pay attention to what God is about to do or to say. Oftentimes, He's going to direct you to somewhere or someone. They are often ministry focused. He can tell you to go and lay hands on someone. He can bring instructions back to you. You know, thank you, Jesus. You know, I perceived this morning that God is asking a lot of us to pay attention to our study groups. I just perceive it. He's going to show you things. Just study group. You know, look at how simple it might be, study group. And I perceive that He has even told some of you last week. Anyone? Is anyone here? Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4. You see that? That was last week, yeah? In a believer's meeting, in those meetings that we had. Just study group. Just study group. And that's how the Spirit of God works. That's how He works. See that He's bringing a re-emphasis on it. He's reiterating it. He means what He says. Amen. Hallelujah. Alright? So our experiences are for ministry. Again, concerning the gift of the Spirit, don't be in the dark. How do I be in the dark? When I'm all about, I remember there was one meeting like that. One brother came to me and said, bless me. He has not blessed anybody.
He has not given anybody any word, any tongue self, you know they speak. He was just jumping from one group to another. When he said he has exhausted everybody here. Okay. He takes his notes. And that place, bless me, sir. And he was just writing things. And all that. Is that, what exactly do you want God to tell you? Because you are not discerning the Lord's body. So we said, those experiences are for ministry. They are meant to help and strengthen us. Also, in a believer's meeting, there's something such as something rubbing off on you. We're looking at how to flow with the Spirit in the meeting, right? There's something as such as something rubbing off on you. Now, listen. How many of you have, someone has told you before, maybe they see a particular brother or sister, or you have seen a particular brother or sister in church, or sister in church, and you feel, this is an example, this is a good example of a believer. Let me see your hands, come on. Come on, you should be able to see, cite good examples. Alright, good. You should be one too, is that clear? Come on. When people want to learn, when they want to pray more, they should be looking at you and say, I want to be praying like this person. I want to be diligent like this person. You should be that kind of Christian. Now, the same way you see that kind of example, we have examples of the things of the Spirit. Now, say four of us come together in the meeting. Yeah? Let me do something. Come. Dems, come. Raya, come. Keep speaking in tongues. Come on. Always be in the Spirit. So we want to have a mini believers meeting here now. Hallelujah. Huh? All right, come on, speak in tongues. Come on. You to pick someone beside you. But what you do is, under your breath, pay attention. Eh? I want to have a believer's meeting with them. Eh? And you will see how things can rub off. I literally want to demonstrate it. But what you are going to do in your group, in just a pair, just one-on-one, what you are going to do, like two of you, something like that. What you are going to do is, observe how quick, observe how quick. Now, if the first person to minister ministers with a word of knowledge, you will observe that's almost the first thing that will come to you. A word of knowledge. So, saying, I minister to you with a word of knowledge. Oftentimes, the first thing that you also are going to minister back will be a word of knowledge, not healing. Because it's easy for it to just rub off on us. And if I am attentive and sensitive to what God is doing, I'm going to allow it to rub off on me. Is it making sense? It's just like singing. You find someone singing in the shower. If you are in school hostel. Hey, I believe I can fly. You don't know when you are humming it. It's rubbing off on you. We can have that in a believer's meeting. Is that clear? Now let's do it. Let's come. Amen. All right. As I said, thank you. Now, in our own group, did it happen or not? Where what I ministered first was a name, what was a person, the occupation, and what will happen. Now, the next person who was going to do it. Now, it's not like this is how it happens every time. I'm not saying what can be the patterns. The next thing I was going to minister was ministering name, and the same thing was going to happen. Because the things of the Spirit oftentimes just rub off. And another thing I noticed was that as I minister to someone else, this person ministers to this person. So, it's complementing what I just did. Now I minister to this, but this void is not left. Is it making sense? Come on, is it making sense? Another thing that can happen is that as I minister to someone else ministers to me, it's supplementing. Meaning that I just gave something, he's going to supply me too. Is it making sense? So we can have complements and supplements, like I said earlier. Don't worry, we are going to have our believers meeting. We are going to do this very well. It's our thing, amen. That's showing our color. Hallelujah. So again, in a meeting, you learn to just flow with that it can rub off. So oftentimes when you see something being done in that meeting, it's an indication of what you can do. Of another time, it's an indication of what you should do. For example, in a believer's meeting, someone is laying hands for healing. It's an indication, probably, that week, you should focus more on healing. So that week, if I had a believer's meeting on Sunday and healing gifts was prominent, I would pay attention to the healing power of God that week. Is it making sense? So it rubs off on us. It creates patterns. So how do I flow with the Spirit of God in a meeting? I look at the patterns. If you observe in Acts 2, he said everybody were together in one accord. Now that one accord did not look like they all at one time they all started doing and they all started speaking tongues and interpreting their tongues. No. It means that someone started it, then the pattern rubbed off. Is it making sense? You can't have 120 people all start to interpret their tongues at a time. That would be disorderly. That will betray Paul in 1 Corinthians 14:40. Is it making sense? So what would have happened is if they actually spoke in tongues and interpreted their tongues like we know in Acts 2 in the day of Pentecost, Abi, because when people heard them, come on, people heard them now. He said we heard them in our language. So say, that means probably they're speaking Mexican, Arabian. No, now it's Pentecost, festival of the Pentecost. It's Jews that are there. Amen. So people came all around from the world. We heard them for our language. Yeah, they came all around the world does not mean anything. It's a Pentecost festival for Jewish. It's a Jewish festival. Is it making sense? Pentecost. So in a Jewish festival, if they say we hear what you said about God in our language, Aramaic. Amen. So that means they spoke in tongues and they interpreted their tongues. Good. But how do 120 speak in tongues and interpret their tongues immediately? At once? No. It means someone started it, it's rubbed off. So we can have patterns. We can have patterns of the things of the Spirit. We can rub off on one another. So let it rub off on you. Amen? Amen? Pray for me as I close. You know, if someone is walking in healing gifts, it means you can do it also. You know, my hands can heal the sick. So see, listen, look at me. Look at me. There are some things that, in Christian faith, we have taken as it's far. Bring it home. Is that clear? Oftentimes, when you look at healing, tongues now, everybody can speak in tongues. We ask everybody to heal the sick. You start seeing people withdrawing. Because in your head, somehow, healing is different from tongues. What if I now lay hands and it not happen? Who told it will not happen? If tongues can happen, healing can happen. It's actually that easy. The day you know it's that easy, you start working in it. Listen, the same way you spoke in tongues, is the same way you heal the sick. Okay. The same way you spoke in tongues, the same way you have word of knowledge. It's actually that simple. You can even use word of knowledge in things that are not ministry related. Like we are playing Monopoly now. I can take someone to jail. Just by saying it. Yes or yes? If you say no, I will take you there today. It is not difficult. It's easy for me. I'm not saying I'm using that work. See, my boss, he gets sacked. You are not discerning the Lord's body. It's easy for me. So, if someone is healing the sick, what I should be doing is, this is a pattern. I can walk in the same pattern. If healing is happening now, am I meant to receive healing for myself? Or am I meant to minister healing for someone? Or am I meant to just be conscious of the healing power of God? But I must see that healing is happening. Healing is happening. A word of knowledge. Okay. Can I supplement? Or can I complement? Exactly. What is God doing? If I want to flow with the spirit of a meeting, I observe what is prominent. Sometimes what is prominent is prayer. And that might be telling you the need to pray more. You need to just be more sensitive. You know, there are times, I know we have to pray always, but there are times to pray. I mean, specific times, specific hour. And if you miss it, it can be dangerous. And that's where meetings like this help. Where it just bring you to a sharpness, to a level where you can literally feel. About some days ago, I was watching TV. I was watching some pundits on Sky Sports. And they were just saying their thing and all that. And suddenly I started feeling somehow. I started feeling uneasy. Why? It's 10 o'clock in the night. I started feeling uneasy, very uneasy. I felt it was me to pray. But I wanted to be sure. So I still waited. But I muted the TV. Just to silence everything. Let me know what's going on. And suddenly my legs were shaking. I knew I had to pray then. Shaking not because I was attacked too. No. You attacked me, you're just wasting time. Wallahi. You just attack and you go back. When you attack, you defend. You know, I like to shake. I said, I need to pray. I just started praying. I started to see some things. I started to know some things. Concerning our church. Concerning a friend too. And I wrote them down. That is how to be sensitive. Guess what? Earlier in the week, a friend already reached out to me. One of my friends in Ibadan. We had a call. And she was telling me some things. Ministry related. And it was bringing the need to pray. We actually prayed over the phone. What I now observe is that because of that, it has rubbed off on me. I'm seeing that same pattern in the week. Oftentimes, it's because God wanted me to pray at that day. That's why that meeting happened. Is it making sense? That meeting is meant to show me what is coming. So, believers' meetings sometimes are not even for that meeting. Sometimes they just put us in the go. They put us in the know for the days to come. In the know, in the go. Sometimes in a believer's meeting, someone is ministering to you and is telling you, you know what, you're going to meet someone. You're going to meet someone. So. Karma. It's a pointer to what you are going to walk into. So, it might be you're going to walk in more of a word of knowledge. That means that week you're going to know things more. If you can flow with the Spirit. Are you getting it now? So, what are we talking about? We're talking about the direction in which the Spirit moves. So when you see it in a meeting like that, look at the pattern. Let it rub off on you. Is it making sense? Look at the pattern. Let it rub off on you. Alright? So, in a believer's meeting, I will see examples. What can be done? What can be done for the edifying of the body of Christ? And that's why, listen very well. That's why, when someone is not sound in doctrine, I'm always wary of following their examples of the spirituals. For example, I see someone who everything he teaches, it's in between false doctrine and no doctrine. But when the person manifests the gift of the Spirit, it's always sharp. I'm always careful. I don't even pay attention to such. Amen. Because I don't want something to rub off on me. I don't want the wrong thing to rub off on me. Because if I cannot trust you with doctrine, how do I trust you with the spirituals? How do I trust you with the word of knowledge? How am I not sure that the devil is using... You know, the devil too can give a word of knowledge. Remember when Paul, in Acts 16, when Paul went to that city, a certain girl came out now and said, "Oh, Paul, Barnabas, servant of the Most High, they have come to show us the way of salvation." And Paul says, "Shut up, you evil spirit." You know, some people have felt, wow, accurate word of knowledge. Now, Paul is responding to a word of knowledge with discerning spirit. He's looking at it and saying, "Who is talking? This is not God." And he cast out the demon in that girl. And the people that were using her to make profit came for Paul. And they put him in prison. Amen. So, can there be ministration of the supernatural gifts that are not from God? Yes. So you have to be weary. That's weird. That's just on the side. So, if we are going to let the gifts of the Spirit rub off on us, then we must honor believers around us, right? Right? Because you know that through them, God can show you patterns and examples. So sometimes the flow of the Spirit in a meeting is prayer. We can just be led to pray. I mean, four of us, five of us, we are there ministering to one another, and suddenly everybody's feeling a burden to pray. It happens. Everybody's feeling a burden to pray. You know, listen, if you are feeling it, the chances are that someone else too is feeling that. So, but what believers do oftentimes is that they just keep quiet.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm the one that just wants to pray. Maybe I'm just the one feeling this way. Mm-mm. Say it. Say it. You know, I sense that we need to pray. Say it. If it's confirmed by another, then another person say, same here. Same. That is the flow of God's Spirit in that meeting. But don't keep it to yourself. Sometimes the flow of the way the Spirit wants to flow is thanksgiving. No, we are just led to give thanks. To throw our bodies up. To rejoice and thank Him for all He has done. You know, to count our blessings one by one. You know, that can be the flow of the Spirit though. There's no word of knowledge. There's no word of wisdom. Just to sing songs. Just to praise His name and bless Him. But we see the Spirit moving in our midst. We see Him moving. In much knowledge. In much clarity. In much information. In much instructions. In prayers. In thanksgiving. We see Him moving. We see patterns all over this house this morning. We are better for it. Come on. Faith is loud. We are better for it. We see Him moving. 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 And we flow with the Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. I love that song. The cloud of glory is moving. I will move with the cloud. Move with the cloud. The cloud of glory is moving. I will move with the cloud. Move. Can we sing it? The cloud of glory. The cloud of glory is moving. I will move with the cloud. Move. The cloud of glory, come on. The cloud of glory is moving. I will move with the cloud. Move. One more time, the cloud of glory, come on. The cloud of glory. I will move with the cloud. One more time, the cloud of glory. The cloud of rushing glory up. Is moving. I will move with the cloud. Keep singing. I will move, come on. The cloud, the cloud. I will move with the cloud. The cloud of glory.
The cloud of,
the cloud of glory
is moving.
This morning, the cloud of glory.
I will move.
This morning, we see what God wants to show. Come on. The cloud of glory.
The cloud of glory.
Sebakuri da samble ketsusa. We are the to the Lugatish and Marco to Salabani others. Libakuri and the Lebogus. One more time.
The cloud of glory, the cloud of glory is moving. I will move.
Rise to your feet, come on. It's easy for me. It's easy for me. Lift your right hand up. This morning. This morning. I walk in the supernatural. This morning.
You know, I function effectively in the gifts of the Spirit. I am born of God. I am born of God. And so I can do the things of God freely. I can do the things of God freely. I can see and know supernaturally. I bless others even as I am blessed too. You ready this morning?